Okay, before we get started today, I got a couple things I got to clarify, okay? First of all, it's hot, spiced cider, not spiked cider, okay? So you know, and whenever you can get what you expect, okay? That's all. Secondly, I also want you to know that the real outstanding thing is that Nani has a solo with the cantata. And so you guys gotta come and support Nani for that, okay? And third, in addition to the open house today and the Lord's Supper and all the things we got going on today, there's also something very special about today. Anyone remember? Pearl Harbor Day. Yeah, it was a very significant event in the life of our country, in fact, in the world. And we need to remember, yeah, and today is Sunday, the same day that the event took place on. So it's important to remember and to think. And I'd just like you guys to pause for a second and pray with me. Father, we do thank you. Thank you that you've watched over our nation in so many ways. Not that we deserve it. Certainly, God, our behavior has not earned your favor. But you are a gracious and a kind God. And we thank you for watching over us, protecting us. Father, we know that many men and others lost their lives during that war. Just it was a sad time in the world. And I certainly hope, God, that we can be spared from anything like it again. But we trust you to guide us, to watch over us. We pray for the families of those who have lost their loved ones in World War II, as well as all the other conflicts we've fought in. Pray, God, for those families to be encouraged, to be strengthened. And I pray, Father, that we will not walk away from the event and from the memories of the event without taking the time to reflect on all you have done to guide us in the years. Thank you for your presence in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And because we've got a lot to cover, you're going to have to listen fast, okay? So turn your ears up so they're on high speed, okay? Because we're going to go. You know, it was a few days before Christmas, and a little boy was with his mother, and they were shopping. They went to one of those big malls, you know. We don't see too many of them anymore. They're closing down, I noticed. But this was back in the day, and the malls were real popular, and they had, you know, the big stores, the anchor stores. And this child was taken by his mother into Macy's. And, of course, Macy's is famous for having a Santa Claus there. And they took Santa Claus, they took the little boy up to Santa Claus. He's about 5 years old. And they propped him up on Santa's lap and Santa said to him, he says, what is it that you want for Christmas, little boy? And he says, well, you better get a pencil and piece of paper and write it down because you're going to forget. And he says, oh, Santa has a wonderful memories, Santa Claus says. And so the little boy, assured of that, went ahead and told him his list of Christmas presents he wanted. Well, the day went on, and they were shopping around to other stores and finally got to the other end of the mall, another big anchor store. And so they went inside, and there's Santa again. So what happens? Boy is taken up to Santa and propped up on his knee again. And Santa Claus says to him, well, little boy, what is it you want for Christmas? And the boy looks at him and says, I knew you'd forget. Okay, and you know, the reality is at Christmas time we forget. All right, it seems to be a very busy time, and lots of things are crowding in, and we forget things that we have to do, things that are important, things that are significant. But aren't you glad that God did not forget? And he did not forget about that first Christmas. In fact, God made so many preparations for that Christmas. And I'd like for us to think about it. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. It's the candle of preparation, okay, or the Sunday of preparation. It's the candle of peace that we light. And because whenever you're prepared, You're at peace, right? You're at peace. And think about it. You know, you have a birth of your child. Last week we looked at the first Sunday of anticipation, and you're kind of wondering, you know, is something going to happen? Whatever it is this big event? Is it really going to take place? What's it going to be like? And things like that. And you think about, I'm sorry, my glasses are bothering me today. Can't fix them. Anyway, all the things are going on in for anticipation, and you have let's say you're anticipating the birth of a child, okay, and you finally come to this point of preparation for the child, okay? And here it is. What are you going to do? Well, you got to do some things. You got to get the house ready. You got to paint that room, right, guys? You got to get the room painted for the child, and whatever color the mother wants the room in. You got to get that painted. You got to get things ready. If you're having a guest come in to a special event, it may not be a child, but you're having a guest come in, you got to get the guest room ready. You got to wash up all the linens. You go about cleaning the house, you know, scrubbing the floors and getting things ready. This is kind of what you do. You prepare for those special events in your life, whatever they might be. And I think it's appropriate for us to consider a particular verse. Turn in, if you have your Bibles there, look up Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4:4. Am I looking in the right place? Oh, there it is. I was reading in verse 3. No wonder I couldn't figure it out. Okay, Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look at your word and consider the preparations that we need to make in our own lives, I pray, God, that you'll speak to us. Show us through what you did how important it is for us to be ready for the advent of Christ in our own lives. And I pray, God, that we might prepare the way you would like for us to. Advent, amen. Got a lot of things on my mind, but I'm already forgetting. Well, God prepared for the first Christmas, understand. That's what this verse tells us. It says in the fullness of time. That word, in different translations, you may have different words in there. The fullness of time is typically one. Some say completeness. Whenever the situation was finally complete, when it was ready, whenever it had finally come to the climax of everything was in place is the idea in the what it's trying to communicate to us. And you think about that fullness of time and think about the completeness of it. What was it that was complete? What was it that was ready? How had God prepared for this? And you start asking questions. And if you go back and you think back on this, you realize from the beginning of time, God had been preparing for Christ to enter into this world. He promised it back even in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned. And part of the curse was even a promise that I will bring redemption. I will bring it. And my son is going to be coming. It was a time of great expectation as you look at that. But God didn't stop in the preparations there. And if you consider it, it's really gets to be quite amazing. Think about as time went on, and he selected Noah. As time went on, and he selected Abraham. Abraham, and he found this one man, and he chose him. And he made promises to him. And through his descendants, he chose each descendant that the promise would go through. And it came to David, and he made promises to David as well. And God selected these individuals and shaped their lives so that through that their descendants, Christ would be able to come in and be at just the right point at the right time. I think about that, and I think about God over and over again moving the various, nations. He moved nations in order, and kings, and these governments, and put them in place for just the right time and just the right events to take place in the lives of Abraham, in the lives of David, and these different people to shape them, prepare them to be of the character to pass on that lineage to Jesus Christ. It is, to me, astounding. Think about the words of the prophets that over the centuries had done this. And then God came and brought the Roman Empire into place. First, he brought the Greek, Alexander the Great, as he conquered the known nations at the time. And he spread the Greek culture with its unifying language. He built it and created his empire in such a way that there was a common language, common understanding. People began to have, it was kind of like having television back then, the way Alexander did it, the way he was able to bring the Greek culture into each community, and with it, the Greek language, unifying people in the way they could converse. Latin came along beside it, and not only that, but the Romans came, and when they conquered, following Alexander the Great, and they came through, and they built a system of roads that brought safety for travelers back and forth, but a system of roads that connected the entirety of the empire, all from everywhere, and led people into Rome and had a centralized government that could spread out. It was amazing to consider at that time and the way that these elements were in place so that Christ could come right at that time and take advantage of not only these physical and political characteristics, but the spiritual atmosphere at the time. It seemed like at that time, because of the unifying nature, the spiritual realm where everyone, they were looking at all the different religions. They had these various cults or local religions in a group where they worshiped a particular god or gods in that group. But then they began to see and they realized how inadequate their spiritual basis was at that time. And they were looking for something, some answers. The Greek philosophers had spread this kind of sense that there's something more. There's what's the true meaning of life? What's the real basis here? And people were looking and seeing this. And the spiritual atmosphere was prime and ready for the advent of God's Son to come to the world and make it important in this. So he did this. But think about it as well, that he sent the angels at just the right time. He sent them to first Zechariah and Elizabeth to prepare for John the Baptist. He sent Mary and Joseph. He brought the birth of John the Baptist in and followed it, notified the Magi. This still astounds me. He wanted the Magi to come. And I still think it was kind of, I don't know, does God have irony? I don't know. But it seems that way to me because he took the Magi. He revealed himself to the Magi. Okay, now, we don't know a whole lot about the Magi. We think there were, we commonly believe there were three. We don't know the number. We think three because there were three gifts mentioned, okay? But he took the Magi. He revealed to them that this important individual, this king, this guy who was going to be the king over Israel, was going to be born here, all right? He had arranged that. Now, think about that. If that occurred because, as some speculate, a certain joining, conjunction of the stars, of Saturn, and I think it was Jupiter, Saturn and Jupiter, two of the planets conjoining and being in a constellation. If that happened, think about that, that at the beginning of time, God set those stars in place so they'd be rotating at just that precise time when Christ was born. Think about that. That's amazing to me that God had that control and had that foresight and planned thousands of years before Christ was born to have that in just the right spot. If that's how it happened, or if God created a star in the sky and placed it there, I don't know. But whichever way it was, God informed the Magi that this was going to take place. And whenever he informed them, they knew it. They were heathen. They were not even of the same faith in a sense, but they could recognize the work of the God of the universe in choosing this ruler. And they came to pay him homage. They went into the Herod and to the religious leaders of the time who just ignored all the same information. says something to me. It says they weren't ready. They hadn't prepared for the coming of the king. And he brought the Magi right in to where Christ was. So what does this tell us? It says God prepared for the birth of Christ. He set the stage so that Christ could come and serve and become the Savior of the world. In the same way, we need to prepare for the coming of the Christ. You say, well, how can you do that? He's already been here. Well, I think it's a little bit different. Our preparation needs to be a little different. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says simply, but in your hearts, rever Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In the King James Version, that term rever is translated sanctifying. We know that sanctifying means to set apart, to pull aside, to dedicate to a specific purpose. And this is kind of what God is saying to us. We need to sanctify God in our hearts. And that's how we begin. We prepare for Christ coming. We prepare ourselves for this Christmas, by first of all sanctifying God in our hearts, setting Him apart, revering Him, giving Him reverence, and preparing for Christ to come. What does that mean? What does it mean to sanctify God in our hearts? What does it mean? Well, I think it's very simple. At the simplest level, it means that personal surrender of Christ to Christ. That personal surrender. We surrender ourselves. You know, I like the imagery that comes with this concept that Christ that in our hearts is a throne, okay? Most of us sit upon the throne in our lives and we rule our own lives. But the imagery that we need to have is us stepping down off of the throne of our heart, of our life, and Christ seating upon that. We need to surrender to Him the rule, the authority, the lordship of our hearts, of our lives, so that He is the one that makes decisions in our life. He is the one that has the right to tell us how to live, what is acceptable, what's not, and how we are to love and who we are to love, whether we want to or not. And that's what it means to surrender to Christ, yielding to Him that throne. And you might be thinking, well, Curtis, I did that when I was a little kid, 10 years old, so I've already got that covered. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said about following Him? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any man's going to come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Do you read that? You know, it's kind of interesting. He says that daily. Why is that in there? It's because we get distracted, okay? Because we start following other things. And he says every day that you get up, you need to remind yourself and think, who is my Lord? Who am I following? And this Christmas, you need to be sanctifying. You need to be making that decision daily in your life. Today, I'm going to follow Christ. I often tell people, it doesn't matter whether I was saved when I was 13 or when I was 15 or when I was 20 or anything like that. It doesn't matter. Today, I have to choose to follow Christ. Today, I need to know my salvation. And each person here, as you approach this Christmas, today, you need to decide that you're going to sanctify Him in your heart. You're going to surrender the lordship to Him and let Him be your Lord. And that's where it begins. And think about it. As you prepare for this Christmas story, not only do you recommit yourself to Christ fresh and anew, but you can think about it. And part of the meaning behind this, one of the things I've been doing is I've been reflecting on this stuff and preparing the messages and stuff. And I'm so rewarded because it gives me a fresh understanding. I begin to appreciate again God's great love, His depth of love for us. I told them in Sunday school today, I step back, I look at the world and the choices we as people have made as humanity, and my personal choices as well. And so many times we have walked away from God. Think about it. At the time of Noah, there was all this chaos, okay? People chose not to follow God except for Noah. He was the only one, it says. And he was the only one that followed God. Why didn't God just turn his back on humanity and walk away? Why didn't he do that with Adam and Eve? Why didn't he do it later at the Tower of Babel or so many other times? Why didn't he just give up on us and say, forget it. You made a mess of it. You live with it. Okay? You made your bed. Sleep in it. You know that the old saying. But he didn't. He says, I love you. I love you, and because I've loved you, I've set this in motion. I prepared for it. I made all the arrangements to bring redemption to you, and I want you to know God's love. And yes, I'm going to make more mistakes. I'm going to make the wrong choices. And I am so thankful that God is not walking away from me. I don't understand it, but I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And I want to try to serve him. I want to be committed to following him. So what you can do is reflect on that Christmas story. Find out what they want and tell them we'll call back, okay? No. Anyway, so we're going to reflect on the Christmas story. Think about the things that took place and the gift of love that God gave to you. Helped you to appreciate this. Just take a few minutes each day to reflect on that, to learn about it. Another thing that you can do in preparing for this Christmas, reflect upon the gifts that you're going to give. You know, we always think about, okay, I got to get Susie this, and I got to get Sally that, and I got to get Billy this thing. You always think about the list of the things you have to get them. But what do those gifts mean? What if you reflected upon the gifts that you were giving to have some meaning behind them, to have some significance, to have some expression of what the meaning of Christmas is and God's love? Just a challenge. We can also help our family and our friends prepare for Christmas, okay? Direct their attention. Just take a few moments to direct them. Think about what Christmas means. Watch a few Christmas movies that have that meaning. Not Miracle on 34th Street, although it's one of my favorites, okay? Not Christmas in Connecticut, you know, but not the Grinch, but the movies that reflect about what Christ did. One of the movies we're going to show on December 21st, after we carol, we're coming back here, okay? Don't forget, we're going to come back here after we carol, and we're going to watch The Nativity, which is the story about the birth of Christ. And I'm even going to get some microwave popcorn, and I'll pop popcorn for all of you, okay? All right? So, I mean, plan for that. Establish some family traditions. Maybe you can start. The reason why I do this this Advent and try to present it and let you guys participate, I started it with my family because I wanted my kids to think more about the meaning behind Christmas than about the gifts under the tree. Maybe you can start a tradition for your family and do it. You can try prayer calendars or something like that. And we can prepare not only our world. Did you notice in that passage, it said, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that you have, okay? To tell people about the hope that you have in your heart because Christ, because you lived. Are you ready to do that? And there are creative ways to do that, that you can do it. One gal told a story about her and her husband. Seems, you know, he had gotten discouraged and just tired with the whole Christmas mess. Not the Christmas story, the true Christmas story, not the meaning that God loved us, but he got tired with the commercial aspect. And you know, walking in the store and everything's being marketed and sold, and there wasn't any personalization, there wasn't any of the meaning behind Christmas. It was just buy, buy, buy. And he got tired of it, and he kind of started shutting things out. And feeling this way, they attended a an event with their son. He was on a wrestling team, he was junior high age, and he had been on the team, the wrestling team, and they had a non-league match coming up, okay? And it was with a church group, a group of guys that were wrestling as part of their church group, and it was an inner city church, so it reflected some low income families and stuff. And the guys in one group, the inner city church group was just a poor community. The guys had their shoelaces. It seemed like their shoelaces were what held together their shoes, okay? They were about ready to fall off. They were ragtag. They didn't have a uniform per se. They'd had no headgear to protect them during the wrestling match, okay? And yet their son's team was sponsored by the school. They all had these gold and blue uniforms. They had nifty headgear and fancy shoes. They were ready to take on this team. And it went on, and they indeed did win the match, the lady's son, because they were just better prepared, okay? And the other team, you know, they kind of just washed off the losses, still strutted their stuff, trying to show that they were still tough, but they had been defeated, pretty much. And Mike, the husband here in this case, he says, golly, I wish they would have won just one match, you know, just one match. They could have somehow held their heads up and stuff. Well, he had a heart for kids. He'd been a coach of several sports, baseball and other things. And so he came now to this time, and his wife was listening, and she wanted to make this Christmas a little special, a little different. So she made a decision. She wasn't going to buy the usual gift, the tie. Do you like my tie? Okay. Not going to buy the usual tie. Not going to buy the cup of coffee, the coffee mug. You know, that's usually what I get, coffee mugs now. Okay. And not going to bypass all that stuff. Instead, she wanted to have something that really expressed this attitude of love, concern, and giving beyond yourself. So she thought about it. And after this match, she decided to go out, and she went to a sporting goods store. She bought headgear for all those kids to help protect them. She bought new shoes, a variety of new shoes, and had them sent over to this church anonymously. And what she did is she took an envelope, plain white envelope, didn't write anything on it, just set the envelope up there, and put in there a note explaining what she had done. And it was her gift to her husband. Well, on that Christmas morning, nobody knew what the note was. But on that Christmas morning, he went and he got it, opened it up, he read it. And his heart was exploded with love. A smile came over his face because this was what Christmas was about for him. Giving to others as God gave to us. She blessed others. She blessed her husband in a new and different way. And there's more details. They continue the tradition now, even though he's passed away. Sons do it. And it's expanding in their family, in their household. But maybe there's some way that you can consider making this Christmas special. Preparing in a different way for Christmas. Not wrapping a present, per se, but finding a different way to express love, to express God's care. Maybe this Christmas can be different. We have Lord's Supper.